I am so, I'm excited to speak again today. I spoke last week. Some of you are like, where's Richie? But he is speaking at another church today, and we love him. We bless him. We have been, you know, Mom and I specifically, we have been just covering him and covering that church in prayer. And so I'm believing God that whatever he's doing here, that he's doing in other churches in our county, in our world, in our nation, and we're just praying for the fire of the Holy Spirit on that church. We're praying for revival in that church. So we are excited about just being in community, just being in relationship. It's very different when you attend a church. You sometimes can get this mentality of like, this is where I go. But here's the big picture is we are part of the body of Christ. So when one part of the body is hurting, we get to support and love and rally. And if I know anything about our church, this is what we do. This is what we do. And I'm so encouraged. I just love y'all. We are right in the second week of our Proverbs series called Wisdom. Yes, it's not a typo. That is intentional, because we are talking about the ways that we apply Proverbs, not necessarily just Proverbs themselves, the obtaining knowledge and wisdom, but how do we apply that? Sometimes that's the big disconnect. I know what to do, but I don't do what I know I need to do. And so this whole series, we are talking about how to apply those principles. So today's very practical. You guys know me. I'm a hands-on person. I like to, you know, talk about theology, and I love all of those things, but I also love to be able to have actionable steps that I can walk away with, that not only can I hear the word of God, but I can be a doer of the word of God. So I'm excited about that today. I really do feel like God is doing something very specific in the earth today. And I think if you have a keen ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, and that if you spend time in the Word of God and time in His presence, that you're going to see that He is moving on the earth today. Don't despise wherever you sit on the team, because you feed off of each other. You can grow from each other. No matter where, some people walk in, they're like, I really don't have a job. Yes, you do. You are an encourager in the body of Christ. No matter where you are today in this place, God has a place for you in the body. And I hope you feel that today. We're part of something bigger. It's on the wall when you come into our church. We are part of something bigger in the body of Christ, because he's doing something in the earth today. And when you submit your life to him, you don't have to worry about, Lord, will you give me a platform? He will elevate you. He will elevate you. He will give you favor. He will bless you. But you have to keep him first. That's our word of the year, first. We're gonna keep him first. And when he does, all of these things are gonna be added. And I'm just so pumped up today. I wanna recap just a little bit of what we talked about last week. We talked about King Solomon and how did he get his start with being so wise? And so we started in 1 Kings 3:14, and I said 4 points last week. I just want to reiterate those points. The first one is, who are you following? King Solomon had an excellent example in his father, but he also was able to lead by example. And so who are you following? And we also said, who is following you? Remind yourself, there are always people watching what you're doing, always. And the enemy would like nothing more to elevate people whose character isn't in a place where it needs to be, only to make the church and the body of Christ look ridiculous and like liars. But I will tell you that the moment that you put your trust and everything in him, it's gonna be hard, it's gonna be difficult, you're gonna have to say no to some stuff, but God is gonna put you in a position where he can raise you up so you can hold what he has for you. So we talked about that. Number two was, what are you asking for? Of all the things that King Solomon could have asked for, he asked for wisdom. Wisdom. Not only, Lord, do I want knowledge, but I want the ability to be able to apply what you've taught me. Wisdom. Number three was, do you have self-awareness? And we define self-awareness as a conscious knowledge of one's own character, feelings, motives, and desires. And King Solomon was so self-aware that he was able to say, Lord, I'm a child in this situation. I don't know what to do. I need your wisdom. And we talked about how he had, his father was there. He had advisors around him, but yet he still went to God and said, I am a child. It is a reminder that that is how God has called us to come to him. Lord, I think I have an idea, but I don't know. Because ultimately, I don't know what you're doing on the earth unless I'm in your presence. And then he speaks to me, he speaks to you. The last thing is, are you disciplined? Are you disciplined? And that's where some of us get tripped up. But I wanna tell you today that I really do feel like we're gonna reiterate that 30-day challenge at the end of you know, the message today. But I will tell you that if you dig in for the next 30 days in those five areas, I believe that you're gonna see breakthrough, but not just breakthrough, sustained breakthrough. Sustained breakthrough. It's okay if I have a moment. This is what we used to tell the kids all the time at camp when they would go to camp. Okay, camp is like a week and they all come back. They're so pumped up and excited. And, you know, they're like, I love the Lord. I'll give him everything, you know. And then you see your girlfriend, you're like, but not her. You know what I'm saying? So we don't want a breakthrough. We want sustained breakthrough. We want to be able to live in a way where we our life gives testimony to who God is. So I want to start in Proverbs 1:1-7 today. I want to read this. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline. We talked about that last week. To help them understand the insight of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become wiser, even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning of these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. If you are taking notes, I want you to highlight, underline, and star verse 7. And it says this, fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. I'm gonna read it one more time. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. I wanna camp on that verse today. Just that verse I wanna camp on today. If we look at the original context of that word fear, it means this, awesome reverence, to esteem, to admire, to place high importance on. To place high importance on. And my first question to you today is this, who do you revere? Who gets the bulk of your time, your thoughts, and your attention? Who do you revere? Each one of us in here would say, oh, you know, of course, I revere the Lord. But if we broke down your week and we looked at it, how much time do you give to what you say you revere? How much time do you spend in the presence of the Lord? Is it daily? Is it Sundays? Sometimes what we see is that the bulk of our attention goes to someone else. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe you are obsessed with your spouse, like, I just wanna make sure that they're loved and that they're taken care of and that their needs are met and that da 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 da, and I have to make sure. Is it an idol? Is your spouse become an idol? This is where codependency comes in. I have to make sure that your needs are met and you're taken care of and do you feel okay and are you all right? And can you leave them to the Lord? Can you be obedient to what he's asked you to do, but can you leave them to the Lord so that the Lord can heal and minister and do something inside of them? Sometimes we forget that they're probably getting the bulk of our time. The next area is our children. Now, when I say that, I don't mean leave your children in the nursery for the next week, okay? Go get your kids, don't leave them. But sometimes we focus on a child. Sometimes when a child is ill, they get all of our attention. I was there a couple of years ago. I was so worried about Lexi making, oh my gosh, is she okay? Is she crying? Is she sad? Is she all right? Is she having anxiety? You know what it was doing to me is putting me in bondage to her emotional state. And the problem with that is she became an idol in my life where I was more concerned with Lexi than what God is trying to speak to me to minister to Lexi. Does that make sense? Sometimes we do that as parents. Sometimes that our children become our everything and they become out of balance. And then all of a sudden we wonder why our kids are telling us what to do. I'm Italian, so that's not gonna happen in my home. But I'm just saying, they could try, but it won't go anywhere. Okay, the next area is in the area of boyfriends, girlfriends. Are we so obsessed with who's my future wife gonna be? Who's my future husband gonna be? Are they gonna be cute? Are they not gonna be cute? Am I gonna have to like lower my expectations, raise my, you know, like we go through all of these things. I can remember being so young, and my mom being like, we pray for your spouse as we pray for them. And I'm like, can you just pray they're hot? Please pray that they're hot. Please pray that they're hot. You know, like I can remember as a child, like even thinking about things like this. So we get into this pattern where we kind of obsess about things that God is like, if you just trust me. I was thinking about this the other day, and I'm like looking at something, just silly something on Facebook. And I felt like the Lord's like, hey, eyes on me. I told you to get off there. And I was like, oh yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. Let me get off there. But like, how many times does the Lord have to say to us through the day, hey, eyes on me. Hey, keep your focus here because I've got something for you. And you're looking in places where it's not going to matter. And you're looking for advice that I haven't called you to do, things that I haven't called you to do. They may work for other people, but that's not what I've called you to do. The last one is health concerns. Sometimes when we are sick in our body, we obsess. And I'm telling you from experience, I have been there. I have been there on multiple occasions. I have been in situations where I'm like, something's not right. But then here's what I do. Y'all, Google. I'm like, oh my God, I have a month to live. Right? For real. And we put ourselves in bondage to an emotional state. And God's like, you're fine, eyes on me. You're fine, you stubbed your dang toe, eyes on me. Like, you're okay. We need to be able to make it through. But who are you studying at the feet of? Who are you studying at the feet of? If it's Jesus, you may go through seasons where it feels like the boat is rocking back and forth, but you're okay because you're in the boat with Jesus. Just keep your eyes on him. Number two is this. The second question is, what area of your life have you allowed foolishness and lack of discipline to become something you tolerate? Listen to this. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. And we would say, Misty, come on, who despises wisdom and discipline? No one. Let me give you a couple of for instance. I hate working out. Silence. We'll just put it on the credit card. Let me see what Tinder's got going on. Let me Google that diagnosis. Every single time we do that, we put ourselves in a place where we're allowing foolishness to come in because we're not keeping our eyes on Christ. We're keeping our eyes on, what can I control in this situation where I feel out of control? What can I control right now? How can I control this situation? How can I control that phone right now? Some of us have even read books. Let me tell you guys this. Reading books, I have no problem with reading books, okay? I love to read, I have no problem with reading. But I will tell you something. If it takes the place of the Word of God, it's become an idol. And let me tell you why. Because some of us have read books about how do I establish a pattern? How do I lose weight? How do I have a better marriage? The only book that you need in your life is the Word of God. That's it. Spend time with him, be in the Word of God, because I know we're like, oh, I don't know how to lose weight. Yes, you do. You have the fruit of the Spirit in here that says self-control, period. That's all you need. I need to learn self-control. You need to feed on the Word of God and walk away from the refrigerator. I told you this last week, when as a trainer, I have never one time had someone come to me and say, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to lose weight. Yes, you do. Every single time they come to me and they say, I know I need to eat right and exercise, but what else can I do? Eat right and exercise. You don't need me. You know what to do. We know what to do. We know what to do, but we want to, how can I control the situation? I'm going to read this book about 21 ways I can establish a better habit. Just establish a better habit. Set your alarm every day and wake up at 5:30 and meet me at the gym. That's what we do. Everybody's like, peace out, Misty. I'm out of here. 5:30, get out of here. The foundation of the Lord. We talked about this today. The foundation of the Lord has to be the beginning of our knowledge. It has to be. My last point today is this. You can't trust yourself. You have to rely on the Holy Spirit. You cannot trust yourself. You can't. I know other people may say, you have to learn to trust yourself first. No, you can't. Because you will lie to yourself. You will tell yourself, it's not that big of a deal. I can eat this whole bag of chips and I'm totally fine. Guys, I'm not gonna tell you how many times my kids are like, Mom, you ate the whole bag? I'm like, get out of here. Because you honestly and truthfully, and when it comes to matters of our marriage, when it comes to matters of our relationship, when it comes to matters of our health, when it comes to matters of our spirituality, we have to rely on someone who knows it all because we don't. And if we can come to him, just like Solomon did, if we can come to him like Solomon and say, Lord, I'm a child in this situation. I don't know what to do, but I know that you're faithful and you're true and you're gonna deliver. When we do that, we know that he meets us exactly where we are. He gives us exactly what we need for that day. He will keep you in perfect peace if your eyes are stayed on him. Keep you. Proverbs 5:3-6 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all that you do and he will show you which path to take. There is a place where you can be, where you can know exactly what the Holy Spirit has for you. You don't have to guess. You don't have to ask like, am I in the right place, Lord? Do you have me where I need to be right now? Because you have spent time with him. He's confirmed inside of you. Yes, the boat is rocking, but I'm right here with you. There's a place you can be with the Lord where you can feel that. I will tell you, there was a season of our life where, and some of you who are with us, you know this, so this is no secret. But we were like, should we move to Texas? Should we stay here? Should we go? Should we? And we were so conflicted. We were like, oh, we can have a church here. We can have a church in Texas. We can have a church in China. We can have a church in Hawaii. We can have a church in Cuba, Colombia. You know, we were like, we can have a church everywhere. And what the Lord did is he closed that door. So he made it very apparent. That is not what I've called you to do in this season. And he made it very clear. He sent an entire pandemic that made it so very clear. Nobody was going anywhere, especially Texas. But then all of a sudden we start coming out of the pandemic, and this is in 2021, and my heart started to see all of these kids coming across the border. And I was immediately grieved, because those of you who don't know, Richie and I were youth pastors in Texas. We had kids that we bussed in from Mexican ghettos, kids who crossed the border. We had those kids in our youth group, and every child's face that they flashed across the news was one of my kids. Those were my kids. And my heart was so broken because I'm like, they're just trying to have a better life. And they're coming across, but we're telling them no. And I know all the politics, I get why, I know all that stuff, but my heart was still broken. So what I did was I told Richie, I want to go to the border for my birthday. He was like, that's a weird birthday present, but okay. And I'm like, I just want to serve. I just want to serve those kids. If we have to give them water, I want to give them water. So I found an organization, a ministry, a missionary, and I told her our story, and she said, I'll take you. And I said, perfect. So we connected with her. We booked our plane tickets. And 1 week before we were supposed to leave, she calls me. Hey, I have bad news. I can't go to the border because my update for my passport, I still don't have it. I sent it 8 weeks ago and I still don't have it. And I'm just letting you know, I can't go with you, so you will go unchaperoned. to the border. And Richie said to me, babe, we cannot go by ourselves. We can't just rent a car and drive to the border. Like, we can't do that. So he made the decision for our family. We are not going to go. It's not safe. We don't have a chaperone. We're not going. We don't have a guide. We're not going. And my heart was so broken. And I'm like, Lord, I just wanted to serve. And I was praying and I was crying out to the Lord, why won't you just let me serve? And the Lord spoke to my heart. And this is exactly what he said. I wrote it down. I don't want you entangled in things that emotionally will trip you up and cause you to become connected to things I haven't called you to. In that moment, I was upset, but I got it. I got it. I'm okay if I know there's a purpose in the pain. The problem is we don't sit with the Lord and ask him, Lord, what are you doing right now in my life? Why do I feel this way? Why am I upset right now at this moment? We don't do that. And so what we do is we just conjure up a thought in our mind. Oh, this is what God, obviously he's mad at me. If I would have lived like that, I probably would have walked away from ministry altogether because you want to punish me? No, he's protecting. He's keeping us. And sometimes we have to walk through seasons that feel like, man, why did I have to walk through that? Why did you let us book plane tickets? I didn't ask his permission. I didn't ask. So when my heart was grieving for that situation, instead of saying, Lord, I'm sad, but I don't know what to do. Can you show me? That would have been a better place to start than book plane tickets and call a tour guide. Right? Lesson learned, I got it. But how many times do we live like that? How many times do we live in such a way we're like, Lord, bless what I'm doing? And the Lord's like, okay, but how about you pray so that I can give you the grace to be able to walk through what you're walking through so that you can understand on the other side of it, I have blessings that you cannot even fathom. And there are some of us in here who are praying for God to bless our mess. And God's saying, okay, here's the deal. I can't fix what you don't surrender. So if we surrender it to him, it belongs to him. And I say, okay, God, here's how I mess this up in a big way. I know that you're gonna give me the grace to walk out of that situation, but I'm gonna have to work. It means I'm gonna have to put in some effort. It means I'm gonna have to fight for my family. It means I'm gonna have to fight for my kid. I may not have done everything right. I may have messed up a lot, but I know that your grace is gonna sustain me in this season. For some of us in here, I wanna remind you that that's exactly where you are right now. If you're like, Lord, where am I? He's like, you're in a mess, but I got you. I got you in this mess. I'll sustain you and I'm gonna get you out with you, working together with the Lord. I want to pray in just a second, but the 30-day challenge that we're doing is in this five areas are where we're gonna focus for the next 30 days. It's faith, fitness, don't get mad. Faith, fitness, fellowship, finances, and freedom. In those five areas, we are gonna take one step closer. We're making a commitment, Lord, we're taking one step closer to you in each one of these areas. In my areas of faith, how has the Lord challenged me to go just a little bit further? Maybe it's get up a little bit earlier and read the word. You know what he challenged me to do? I think I told you this last week. He challenged me, don't turn on the TV at night. I want you to read the word before you go to bed. I'm like, come on. I can't even keep my eyes open for 5 minutes. Are you kidding me? It doesn't matter. Just fill your head with something other than junk and propaganda. One step further. In the areas of fitness, you don't have to go out and lift crazy weights and throw tires around and, you know, be nuts like me and Richie, but, and Maria. But what you do have to do, is take care of your body as the temple. For some of you, maybe just drink water. You drink Coke all day. Just drink water. Just at least one glass of water. You're going to take care of your body as the temple. The next area is fellowship. And we talked about how I had always prayed since North Shore that Maria would have someone in this community that spoke Spanish
like her that she could connect with. And the Lord brought Victoria and James. And I love just seeing the two of them just fellowship together and just have that Spanish-speaking bond. And we're like, hola. And they're like, you know, they're having full conversation. We love that. I love that. So in the areas of fellowship, finances, we're going to give. We're going to get out of debt. Jesus, get us out, Lord. We're going to get out of debt. We're going to stop spending on credit. We're going to give. We're going to be givers. We're going to sow seed. The last area is in our freedom. We're going to manage our freedom well. We're not going to use it as an area where we can become entangled emotionally. I love how Kyle was so vulnerable today in Team Rally and how he talked about there was things that happened in his life as a child that he did not realize would cause damage later on in life. But when he surrendered those things to the Lord, when he got around community, when he was vulnerable, the Lord was able to put guardrails around his life so that even in situations where he's unprotected, he's still doing what God has asked him to do. Man, I love that. I was so encouraged by that today. I want to do something a little bit different to kind of close out this service. We're going to do two things. I want to pray for Genesis. She is here today. She's in the back with baby Zeal. And Zeal has been given a diagnosis that we do not claim in Jesus' name. We do not claim it. So we are going to have Genesis come up and we are going to pray for this baby. And I'm really confident in my heart that this church is a believing church and that we do believe that God can heal the sick and raise the dead. And we are a New Testament church because we don't believe that, oh, that was good for yesterday. No, we believe that same God who raised Christ from the dead lives in us. And so what we're going to do is we're going to have her come up. James, I want you to pray over her if you're okay with that. Church, if you would stand with us. The Bible says, call for the elders and have them pray. And so James is one of our elders. He is our youth pastor. And so I want James to pray, but we're going to pray over this baby and we're going to declare that whatever has been spoken over him, that he's going to be healed in Jesus' name. Okay?
Lord, we thank you that you did not write your word in vain. But your words are true. Let every man be a liar. Lord, I thank you right now for baby Zeal. Your word says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget his benefits, who heals every disease and forgives every iniquity. Lord, I thank you that you fulfilled the prophecy, and Jesus, you being Jehovah Rapha, the God, my healer, not something you just do, but something you are. You are the healer. And so, Lord, it says in Isaiah 53, you bore our sicknesses and our pains. So, Lord, I thank you that Zeal's sickness was already put on the cross. I thank you that the stripes that you tore, that tore your back up, it was already a payment for Zeal's sickness. So, Lord, I rebuke every lie of the enemy. I rebuke every accusation. I rebuke every cell that does not work in accordance to your word and the counsel of your word. So Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, I thank you that James chapter 5 says when we pray with the prayer of faith that they will be saved, they will be healed. And so we agree with that. We agree that the righteous people, their prayers availeth much. So Lord, I thank you for Zeal. I thank you for healing. I thank you, Lord, that your word is true. I thank you, Lord, that every spirit that is accusing this baby, accusing the parents, accusing Genesis, accusing Brock, trying to be oppressive, Lord, that has to go in Jesus' name. Every chain broken in Jesus' name. Every weapon formed against you shall not prosper in Jesus' name. So Lord, I thank you right now for a good report. We say yes and amen. Jesus said, you said, when we pray, we have to thank you afterwards, expecting it to be done. So Lord, I thank you already in advance that this is already gone. We won't even have to talk about this sickness once we say amen. Jesus, you said, if we agree here on earth, it is settled in heaven. So we agree. We agree for this healing in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it.